Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Dr. Bev.
Good afternoon. How are you on this Youth Day?
Very well, thank you. Are you good?
I'm well, thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we are talking about the role of literature in shaping society, and literature has always played a significant role in shaping society and influencing how people think and act. I mean, from ancient epics and religious texts to modern novels and poetry, literature has been a powerful tool for conveying ideas, values, and cultural norms from one generation to the next. Now, our conversation today explores how to approach secular literature as a Christian reader and how to measure it against a biblical truth. Now, Doc, how would you say literature has shaped society in the past, in your view?
First of all, I want to just state that this is a very passionate topic for me.
Right.
I have been an English teacher all my life, 30 years plus, and a literature teacher. Sorry, is there a problem on the line?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. So it's a very great passion of mine, and I love teaching literature and poetry. The core of society is reflected in literature. And unfortunately, the readers are declining sincerely in our society. I mean, very few people read like they used to in the past. I mean, this was the only form of entertainment back in the day. When society was, many years ago, there were no printed stories for everyone. It was a storytelling culture, and it would be passed down from generation to generation.
Mm.
But now that we have printed literature, and it's even become prescribed to us, to students at schools, now it's changed the way it is delivered and also changed the way it's interpreted. And that makes also quite a significant difference. Literature is supposed to be open to the interpretation of the reader. But now there are prescribed norms and discussions and themes that are almost forced on our school readers particularly, and I think that's where I'd like to focus, is how norms of society change and how the same literature of years ago is actually used to change the method of communicating what society is supposed to be thinking at the time.
Yep.
So just for example, I love teaching the Shakespearean play Hamlet. And it has so many really true themes, like procrastination is one of the big themes that you get to discuss with these teenagers about how procrastination changes things. You know, a good topic to discuss in today's society. I don't know if the listeners are aware that the story of Hamlet, Shakespeare's Hamlet, is the same as Lion King. The Disney movie Lion King is the same.
Oh, okay.
Story.
Oh, interesting.
And
I
didn't know
that.
I was watching that movie when my children were small. I thought, I just absolutely love the Lion King. And when Mufasa, the father, spoke to his little boy from the dead, I thought, whoa, that's a bit weird. I don't like that. But it was in the literature that I was teaching all those years, but it was kind of not a focus for me until I had children. And I thought, okay, but now I have to explain to my child that the dead don't communicate with us. And so when we start looking at the themes that literature bring up, you know, it can be quite scary. Like I had a team that put together reading material for high school learners, and they wanted to put on Harry Potter. And I said, I don't like the idea. There's a lot of witchcraft. But I was teaching Macbeth, which had equal amounts of witchcraft. You see what I'm saying? You know, you get used to these epic literature stories, and because you've known them all your life, you kind of pass over those things that aren't so kosher. And then when you look at it from a different perspective, I said to this, they said, what's the difference between the witchcraft in Harry Potter and in Macbeth? And I was astounded that I couldn't answer that, you know. There is no difference. So when we have these prescribed books in our homes with our children, how do we go around the content of that? Do we read the literature our children need to read and talk to them about it? That would be my question, is how do we engage our children with the content they are basically forced to read and write about? And they are forced to think about it in a specific way. I mean, at the moment, we are seeing how the whole woke agenda is being pushed through in the literature that the students are now learning. So we change the way society sees things by the literature we teach the children and how we interpret it for them.
Now, I think you've already touched on what the positive and negative impacts of that secular literature has had and continues to have on our society. Thank you so much for that, because that was going to be my, next question. And you did explain, that some things that may not go with our beliefs necessarily, but though it's beautiful literature, but it may not go along. And then we need to explain to, children, those who are consuming literature, etc. Now, how should Christian readers and educators approach their secular literature and poetry that goes against Christian beliefs? I know you made an example. Now, also especially considering that even our church schools have to teach it.
Yes. And examine it according, because our church schools follow the curriculum of the country. So, you can't make your own curriculum. And then on the other hand, the curriculum of the country is raising children to live in this world. Okay. And in this world, or we as Christians want to raise our children to be citizens of heaven. But they also have to live in this world. They also have to be able to move around the themes that are current in the world. You know, what do we do as young Christians where we have all these issues that are being faced? We can't pretend they're not there. We have to have opinions around them. We have to have conversations with our children. We can't say the whole gender identity doesn't exist. It does. And we have to be able to talk to our children about it. How do we deal with my best friend who identifies differently? Do I shun that person? What would Jesus do?
Very important.
So, we need sometimes the topics that arise in these pieces of literature or poetry that we're doing can be excellent conversation starters with our children and lead us to spiritual matters and say, this is how it's going to work as our perspective. But we need to consider other people's feelings as well. Because Jesus loves everyone. He's the one that's paid the price for everyone. So it brings an opportunity for parents to teach discernment.
Yeah.
Just want to read something, if you don't mind, a quote from a spiritual author that I value.
All right.
Ellen White. She writes in one of her books called Messages to Young People. The readers of fiction are indulging an evil that destroys spirituality, eclipsing the beauty of the sacred page of the Bible. It creates an unhealthy excitement, enfevers the imagination, unfits the mind for usefulness, weans the soul from prayer, and disqualifies it for any spiritual exercise. She even says, do not open the lids of books that are questionable. Now, that brings the question of, what do we do with the literature that is basically forced? Because the Bible is also literature. Some dodgy chapters to deal with in the Bible as well. So the themes that come in literature are the themes of life. And we have to face them, and we have to talk about them. We have to teach our children how to engage the content of life.
But I think it's a very important, you know, subject, Bev, especially for those who are into literature and our kids, because they grow with the literature, understanding, you know, stories and how storytelling goes, etc., which builds up, you know, the next generation of those who are literature writers, etc., etc. But in conclusion, what would you say before we let you go?
Sorry, that last part of your question, I didn't get it. It was breaking up a bit.
Oh, and I was saying that in conclusion, what would be your last words before we let you go?
I'd like to encourage parents to be present in the consumption of literature. You know, what we read is as important as what we watch. Mm-hmm. But children are watching things that also need discernment that's based on literature as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we read the little grade one books that talk about the tortoise and the rabbit that was speaking, that is also a dodgy, questionable theme where animals can speak. You know, we said children should not support these things. However, we need to be consistent. That's my big thing, consistency with children. Mm-hmm. Teens especially, they see right through inconsistency. And that's what the point I was trying to make about the witchcraft, that I criticized in one particular piece, but I overlooked it in the other. When we, as parents and adults, have to be consistent with the message we teach, with what we read, what we consume, how we interpret things, and what the children are getting. And may we, as parents, have open conversations with our children. And if literature can open those doors, then by all means, I think it's a good tool.
Well, that's a fantastic one. But Dr. Bev, thank you so much for your time and engaging with us this afternoon. Indeed, very important lessons, especially that, I know, I like your posture, that we've got to make sure that we are vigilant when we're going through literature, because some of these things could be subtle. Some of these things could really not be, you know, inverted commas, harmful. But hey, they go a long way into twisting up, you know, the character and, you know, the personality of our children. Thank you so, so much for coming through.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lovely. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.